Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and we are staggering in for the Monday morning podcast. Let me tell you, that was a crazy Sunday of NFL football, injuries to talk about, players to pick up, explosive offenses, and some less than thrilling defenses one might talk about as well. We've got a lot to break down. Luckily, I have two very good friends to do that with. Of course, Pat Fitzmaurice is here as always every Monday, and Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros. We're going to help everybody pick up the right players for week four in the NFL. We still got a couple games left, and obviously if anything breaks, just like last week when there was that Nick Chubb injury, we will have that microcast on our podcast feed to break down any further remnants of waiver wire that you might have. We also, don't forget, have the live streams here on our YouTube channel every single Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, myself and Derek Brown. So you've got plenty of waiver wire help. It's a journey, and we want to hold hands with you on that journey of waiver wire to championships. Pat Fitzmaurice, it was a crazy week of football. The Miami backfield, I know, is going to be a hot topic here that we're going to talk about. We'll get to the most added player in a second. But you and I have been watching football a very long time. I've never seen a 70 spot in the NFL in my lifetime. That was something to behold.
We literally haven't, Joe. I'm an old man, and the last time it happened was before I was born. So just crazy, like a complete avalanche of points. And I think, you know, unfortunately, some fantasy teams got buried beneath an avalanche of points. But I love those weeks, though, where there's a lot of scoring like that. You know, even if you come out on the wrong end of things, it still is more entertaining than one of those days where it's backup tight ends scoring all the touchdowns and, you know, a bunch of low scoring games. Like yesterday was a lot of fun. Got to embrace it even if your team's lost.
Andrew Erickson on the Betting Pro Show called the anytime touchdown and bet on Donald Parham Jr., by the way. I just want to say, like, at 30-1.
Wow.
So that's why you watch the show. That was his favorite long shot of Friday's show. Go subscribe to Betting Pros. Multiple choice for you, Derek Brown. What was more embarrassing this past week? Was it the Dallas Cowboys losing to the Cardinals? Was it the tackling of the Denver Broncos? Or was it you sleeping in and missing Monday's show last week?
Damn.
Oh, man.
I woke up this morning and I chose violence, Derek.
I woke up this morning and I chose violence. I didn't realize we were strolling down Violence Street today, Joe.
I did. Wow, I woke up this morning and I chose violence. It's a bad betting day for me. I'm in a sour mood.
I don't even think I have to sit here and, like, answer the question. I basically just gave my answer.
You did. I love you anyway. These things happen. It was a very funny thing. But anyway, let's get to the waiver wire pickup of the week. And I think y'all know who it's going to be.
Running backs.
Devon Achane, running back of the Miami Dolphins, 46% rostered on Sleeper. He is the Sleeper waiver wire ad of the week. His roster percentage is going to go very, very quickly up through things. Now, he was just started in 4% of Sleeper leagues yesterday. I actually picked him up in a guillotine league yesterday in the morning because he was floating around the waiver wire. And I just said, well, you know, I love Mostert, but if Mostert gets hurt, you know, like we all know, Achane's the guy next on the list. I did not play him. I also picked him up in a CVS Experts league that I'm in. Of course, I did not play him, so I had 50 points on my bench. So the instincts were there. That's good. I saved myself some money on the waiver wire. But D-Bro, I mean, we have to start here with Devon Achane because this was a stunning game. Let me just put it in perspective. 70 points, second most in NFL history, 726 yards, second most in NFL history in a game. Also, the Dolphins were the first team ever to have 350 yards passing and rushing in the same game. That has never happened in the history of the NFL. It was incredible. But again, are we chasing our tail when it comes to Devon Achane, or is Achane, even with Jalen Waddle back, even with Mostert, maybe Jeffrey Wilson Jr. in a few weeks, worth rostering?
He's definitely worth rostering. I know Mr. Fitzmaurice and myself are going to have a little bit of divide this week, so foreshadowing here. But I definitely think he's worth rostering, obviously. I mean, look at what he did this week. I mean, over 200 yards rushing. Now, is that replicable over upcoming? No, obviously not. But Devon Achane got 45% of the running back carries. Where I guess we're gonna divide here is that Mostert ran 18 routes versus Achane's 11. And I know there's a lot of noise because this game was a blowout and stuff. The talent is real for Achane. And so, yes, you need to be bidding aggressively for him because we're out there looking on the waiver wire and it's like, who are the guys that can be difference maker? Can be players that could, I mean, carry us to fantasy championships. Achane is a guy that could possibly do that. So I think bidding aggressively for him is where it's the move right now. Now, how aggressively we're going to talk about. Right. I mean, I'm willing to go like 20, 25%. I think that's aggressive, but I might not be as aggressive as Pat is on this one.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting conversation because Achane's the guy, Debro, you know, that I was in on going into the season, right? I was fading Mostert, I was fading Wilson. I'm like, those guys are always hurt. Give me Achane. And you yelled at me, he's too small. And you were right. He is too small, but he is fast. And this is an explosive offense. This is not your normal mom and pop offense that you're used to in the NFL, what you're seeing here. 18 rushes for 203 yards. He was averaging 11.28 yards per carry yesterday. The tackling was absurd, by the way. The Denver Broncos just quit. I think they quit when it was 21, and it was just pathetic after that. He also caught four balls, which, again, two touchdowns there, two touchdowns on the ground. Pat, when it comes to Achane, you know, he had that injury right before the season started, right? It was a shoulder, I believe, if memory serves. So all of a sudden, his draft stock kind of went, you know, gone. It became an undrafted guy for the most part in those late drafts because people didn't want to touch him. What realistic can we expect here from Achane? Because Waddle was not playing yesterday, and Mostert was spectacular yesterday, and the Denver Broncos were less than spectacular yesterday. It was the perfect storm. The question is it worth investing in for the future? Because this Miami Dolphins offense, although great, we know that they can spread the ball around, and we know Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle typically are the alphas in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, Joe, I'm a little relieved that Debro did not call the Jeff Wilson police on me to break up the Devon Achane party. He was, based on what he was telling me last night, I thought he was, you know, basically giving me a warning that Jeff Wilson was going to come off IR and the Devon Achane party was going to be over. I was going to have to untap the kegs, pack up the pinatas, and mainly just because, you know, Debro didn't get his invitation to the party. It got lost in the mail, Debro, I swear. Didn't mean to not invite you to the Devon Achane party. But Joe, like, Devon Achane is exactly the sort of back who does not need a workhorse type role. And look, there are half a dozen true workhorses in the NFL. You need guys who can thrive in a multi-pronged backfield. And Devon Achane can be that guy because he has explosive playmaking ability for 4.3 speed, and we saw that on his 67-yard touchdown run at the end of the game yesterday, and pass-catching ability. Like, those are the things that can make a committee back pop. And I said in the offseason, like, I mean, I was watching Texas A&M games last fall, Joe, just to watch Devon Achane, because the Aggies were not a fun watch last year.
No, they were not.
Aggies fans. No. And, you know, but, like, I just fell for Achane because I felt like I was watching the second coming of Warrick Dunn with this dude's speed.
That's a really good comparison. I like that one.
And his contact balance. And we saw that contact balance on that little shovel pass touchdown.
Yep.
Like, he just pinballed off a tackler on that play. And, you know, that was the bad Denver tackling that you were talking about, Joe. But, I mean, at the height of Warrick Dunn's powers, he was not a workhorse back either. He had the A-train, Mike Allstott. It was thunder and lightning, baby. And no doubt that Mostert and probably Jeff Wilson are going to be factors in this backfield, too. But those guys have gotten hurt a lot. And even if this does turn out to be a three-man backfield, like, I think A-train is going to have standalone value because of what he brings to the table.
Now, what would be your bid if aggressive for Derek is 20-25? What would yours be?
Look, we know how desperate people get at the running back position, especially in a year where, you know, people have already lost Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins, you know, for some length of time, Saquon Barkley and Austin Eckler. I'd go to 40%.
All right. 40% is a lot. Now, Derek, let's get your take here on the difference, because this is a pretty big difference between the two of you. And I always spend a lot on Achane, but again, people might be spending a lot of Achane, so we got to spend some time on it. To me, he's an interesting flex back because he's got that explosiveness. That was my intrigue with him in the offseason anyway. The explosiveness of Achane. He doesn't have to touch the ball 25 times. He has to touch the ball 5 times. And one of those just has to be a touchdown. One of those has to be a big explosive play. And that's what he does. Now, yesterday he played against basically those wacky flailing inflatable arm tube guys. That was basically the defense of the Denver Broncos. So that being said, why are you only at the 25 mark as opposed to the 40? You don't see, you see Jeffrey Wilson basically coming in and making this even harder. Is that it basically?
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Okay. And I look, Pat, I got El Jefe on speed dial over here. Okay. That's a fact. I was waiting to bring up my man here. And this comes down to, yes, I think this is going to be a three-way backfield. I think that Devon Achane has the upside, but outside of projecting an injury for Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, which, yes, I know we got our injury jokes, and that's a possibility.
Well, I mean, it's just a reality. Outside of Raheem Mostert is not built for 17 games. That's it. It's not a knock on him as a player.
But can all three of them hold up if they're getting 8 to 10 touches per game?
Probably.
And then it's a dice throw of, okay, well, who's getting the red zone work?
Well,
who's
but to Pat's point, I want the guy with the 4.2 speed and the crazy athleticism and all that stuff, even though he's the smaller guy. So I get it. And Mostert's not the biggest dude either. I know he's a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. but it's just this offense. It's so creative. The way they disguise things and hide things, really interesting. By the way, before we get to the rest of the names, it's not just Devon Achane today, I promise you all. But there was a poll that our producer John put up over on Spotify, I believe it was. Who will produce more fantasy points the rest of season, Raheem Mostert or Devon Achane? D-Bro, you want to take a wild guess? I don't know if you saw the results, what that poll was, who won that?
Oh, dear. I'm guessing it's a landslide for Achane now?
Not a landslide, but 51-48. Pat, does that surprise you or no? Prisoners of the moment.
Yeah, people do like the new shiny object. I'm actually mm-hmm. surprised it's that close. You know, like I think that's what it should be. Or
it's not like Mostert didn't have a bunch of touchdowns yesterday, too.
I know. I'm like,
oh, I had so much Mostert in DFS yesterday, but I didn't have enough too. It was so sad. Oh,
look, if Mostert
today.
Stays healthy, I think he outscores Achane the rest of the year. I do, but if Mostert stays healthy, that is a Grand Canyon sized if.
It is. All right. Before we get to the rest of the running backs, I want to remind everybody that obviously, you know, football is back for another week and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in the NFL action with great offers every single day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups and walk away an instant winner. It's very easy. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every game this September. So football is more fun when you're in on the action. So download the app now and sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS, and new customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With that promo code FANTASYPROS, the crown is yours at DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. Licensing partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 or over age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. All right, let's get back to the action and the other running backs. So we have a variance there between Devon Achane opinion, but I think good opinions for everybody out there listening to marinate on. Let's talk about Tajay Spears, another running back that, goodness knows, you know, we liked him in the combine. We liked him in college. Pat, he is rostered in 32% of leagues. He seems pretty relevant and one of the more relevant, I guess, timeshare backs at this point. How aggressive should people be on Spears this week?
I've got 5%, and he is a true lottery ticket in that if Derrick Henry were to go down, Spears would be the featured back and would immensely be, you know, the role would be so valuable. But here's the thing. Right. That offensive line is so bad that Derrick Henry is currently averaging, 3.2 yards per carry? So I do worry that this workhorse role might not be as valuable as it has been for the Titans.
That's interesting point of view, too. Also, Myles Garrett is really good, too. So as bad as that offensive line was, Myles Garrett was pretty impressive yesterday. D-Bro, how about you with Spears? I know there's another guy we've talked about before, but I feel like if you're not preparing for this potential after this Chubb injury of some of these other backfield, it's not about just handcuffing. It's about handcuffing situations where we think there's talent. Is this one of those in Tennessee?
I think so. And that's why I put my bid for Tajay Spears between 3% and 5%. And I just don't think it's going to cost you much to sit here and get him on your team. But I'm firmly with Pat, all of his points. I mean, the upside is there, but there's concerns. I mean, this entire offense is abysmal right now. Like, just watching this team try to get up and down the field, it's a tough scene, guys. Like, regardless of however we want to splice this, like, Ryan Tannehill is not playing great football. Derrick Henry's running into brick walls because the offensive line can't block. Wide receivers are either hurt or, in the case of Treylon Burks, not getting open. So, really, what type of upside do we have? Even though I am a huge fan of the talent of Tajay Spears. Like, if you look at all of his elusivity metrics, like, the guy's breaking tackles. He's playing well. He's lightning in a bottle. This is Devon Achane, except transplanted in Tennessee. But with all of the... with that transplantation comes all the warts that that is Tennessee right now. So the bids can't be that high, even though, you know, could Derrick Henry go down? Could he get traded? There are a lot of outs for Spears here, but still, there's a lot of worries too.
All right. Obviously, same breath, Eli Mitchell, right? Elijah Mitchell's another guy that you could potentially look in that same thing. He become very valuable if there's an injury. So starting to back ourselves up, he is 47% rostered over on Sleeper. D-Bro, how about Elijah Mitchell? Is he more valuable in your mind and should be more aggressive than a guy like Spears?
I mean, I think you're just not going to have to pay much for it to get Elijah Mitchell. I do agree that he should probably cost you more, but I don't think that's going to be the case out there on the waiver wire. So again, 3% to 5%. I think he's the clearer handcuff to CMC. And so stacking him on your roster, as long as you got the bench space. Yeah, I'm totally for that.
Pat, your thoughts on Mitchell?
I would go up to 7%. I think he might be, he's either the most or second most valuable handcuff. I think maybe Tyler Algier, you could make a case for him just because he might have some standalone playability. Elijah Mitchell really doesn't, but boy, if anything were to happen to Christian McCaffrey, and by the way, things often happen to Christian McCaffrey, Mitchell is just a weekly must start, a weekly top 10 back in that offense. You know, this is,
I agree too. Algier's worth more because you saw it last year for the whole season. Yeah, that's agreed. More important. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat. You had more.
No, and I was just going to say, as with Spears, you know, Mitchell would immediately be thrust into a heavy duty workload, but the supporting cast, you can't even compare the two supporting cast, 49ers versus Titans. 49ers are a machine on offense.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Whatnot. If you haven't heard about Whatnot yet, allow me to introduce you to this incredible platform. Whatnot is the world's leading live shopping platform, often described as a unique blend of eBay and Twitch. Here's how it works. Streamers go live to conduct auctions where they sell a wide range of items, including sports cards, jerseys, sneakers, and much more. This week, in the hobby of sports card collecting, the highly anticipated NFL product Flawless was released. It's been making waves in the hobby, with cards worth six figures or more being pulled on a daily basis, and you can snag a $10 discount on your first purchase by going to whatnot.com/user/fantasypros2023. Again, that link is whatnot.com/user/fantasypros2023, and by clicking sign up in the upper right corner to automatically redeem the offer, don't miss out on this exciting opportunity. Again, sign up when you go to whatnot.com/user/fantasypros2023 to redeem your $10 discount. The link will also be in the description, so check out Whatnot today. And now, back to the action. All right, one more guy, too. I know it's a mixed backfield, but Jerick McKinnon rostered in 54% of leagues. I'm sure after yesterday, people might be, you know, poking around and saying, hey, I remember last year when it was good. Pat, is he worth a flyer, like a buck or two even this week?
Nope. He is not.
Staying away.
He is. Okay. He had 10 touchdowns last year, averaging 7.5 touches a game. Like, you, when do you start him and feel good about it? Because if he does not get it in the end zone for you, you are going to have like a rock bottom output from him. And like this year, I think he's only had 10 touches through three games, I believe 10 touches. Yeah, he got in the end zone twice.
The football yesterday, he had some good physical runs, some extended play runs. D-Bro, same thoughts for you when it comes to McKinnon?
I mean, I'm willing to throw out 1% to 2% just because we have seen that type of run out. He's still the receiving back and one of the best offenses in the NFL. And we saw it last week. I mean, yes, the touchdowns are unsustainable unless we're talking about freaking Patrick Mahomes. Like, Jerick McKinnon did after he went on down that stretch run, led the entire NFL in receiving touchdowns. I understand that, but the guy just got in the box twice yesterday. That can happen a lot of different weeks. So I'm not saying to start the guy or to feel good about it, But as a bench stash, Pacheco's been banged up. They don't want to play CEH unless they absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. I think he's got some value.
All right, let's get through some of these names, too, that you might want to drop in your leagues. Joshua Kelly, D-Bro, can you drop him after yesterday in the looming return of Austin Eckler, we hope, this week?
It depends on who you're dropping him for, because I think you get another week of starter run out of him. Now, I know that's not very valuable, but he's still going to get touches in that offense.
Pat, do you agree the same way?
Yeah, I mean, he plays the Raiders this week. It's a decent matchup. I mean, the fear is...
Well, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, in theory, were a good matchup, too. Like, yep, that was what's so frustrating. I mean, he should have run roughshod over them, considering what DeAndre Swift did to them last Thursday. So I guess that's my struggle with when it comes to Josh Kelly. Yesterday was such a smash spot, and it just failed. Would you drop him, let's say, for Tajay Spears or Eli Mitchell?
I would. It depends if I had other alternatives. Like, if I had some other wide receiver I could flex. If I've got two better backs, two top 20, top 25 backs, sure. Like, my faith in Josh Kelly is minimal, but if I'm really hurting at running back, I might have to keep him around one more week.
I would say if I'm 3-0, I cut him and I'm looking for one of the long-term solution guys like Spears or Elijah Mitchell. I think that's my point of view. All right, how about Dalvin Cook? I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. Dalvin Cook yesterday, 8 for 18. Week 2, 4 for 7. Week 1, 13 for 32. Pat Fitzmaurice, can he drop Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy at all. Absolutely. Drop him with no hesitation.
This might be a hot take when I added it, but D-Bro, Pat seems to be on board. Are you dropping Dalvin Cook? You with me or no?
No, we're all in agreement, baby. We're hugging this one out. We're getting back on the same page here, Joe. I don't think this is a hard call at all. Like, what would we be excited about for Dalvin Cook? He's not breaking tackles.
Well,
he's the
Zach
1B
Wilson.
Back in a terrible offense. Like,
we're all excited about
Zach Wilson. It's not nice, man.
All right. Let me throw some other names out at you. Tank Bigsby, Sean Tucker, Ezekiel Elliott, Matt Breida. Before we move on to wide receiver, any of these guys worth adding for you this week, D-Bro? Who would be the one?
Sean Tucker. I would be adding Sean Tucker. I think Rashad White's hold on this backfield is tentative at best. I think he'd take over the backfield. So Sean Tucker's the one that I'd be tossing the chips in.
All right. How about you, Pat? Of this grouping, Bigsby, Tucker, Zeke, and Breida.
Yeah, it's basically upside versus immediate playability. And I do like Tucker as an upside play. I mean, Breida, if you're desperate, he's going to be the lead back against Seattle this week. And I know Gary Brightwell had some touches last week, but it was mostly Breida. He did fall into the end zone. Like, the Seattle defense is not good. And even Zeke, like... I mean, I do think that Zeke is probably pretty dusty and can't help you out much, but maybe he did need kind of a conditioning ramp up because they gave him a lot of work yesterday in that game against the Jets. And I know it was sort of a grinder-friendly game script for the Patriots, but I just wonder if maybe that sort of 60-40 usage is here to stay for the Patriots.
Before we move on with the show, let's take a second to talk about Nutrafol. Guys, men think losing their hair is inevitable. It's something that's been on my mind a lot as I've started to get older. But I want you to take control of your hair's future with Nutrafol's science-backed hair growth supplement for men. And this is something that 80% of men will experience in their lifetime, hair thinning. It's completely normal. But that doesn't mean it has to be your fate. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, visible thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Go to Nutrafol.com/men to take their hair healthness wellness quiz. Identify causes of your thinning hair, and Nutrafol will give you a personalized plan for better hair health through whole body wellness. And it works. In a clinical study, 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after just 6 months taking Nutrafol men's hair growth supplements. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter promo code FANTASYPROS. Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men and enter promo code FANTASYPROS. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code FANTASYPROS.
All right, let's move on, everybody, to the wide receivers to add this week. And before we get into some of like the top guys, it's a pretty good week for wide receiver ads, too. I do want to mention one other thing, going back to the running backs. I know Roschon Johnson is still like 50% rostered on Yahoo, but obviously on Sleeper and some other spaces, it's more. If he's still floating around, add him this week. Good matchup next week against, who are they playing? All right, the Denver Broncos, who don't tackle anybody. All right. Sorry about that. Just had to mention that on the show. All right. Let's get to the wide receivers.
Wide receivers.
I want to talk about Mike Williams and the injury looming here. It could be a major one. It could be out for the season. Again, it's morning. We're still waiting for official news on that. But that leads us to a very important question. Josh Palmer or Quentin Johnston, Pat Fitzmaurice, who would you rather be targeting this week in waivers between those two guys?
The more talented Quentin Johnston. And we have seen Josh Palmer thrust into a bigger role in the past with either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen hurt. And a lot of people thinking that Josh Palmer was like a must play in DFS, a sneaky lineup play, a flex guy at worst. And it didn't really materialize. Like, I think Josh Palmer is a pretty ordinary talent. But right now, he is playing ahead of Quentin Johnston, more snaps, more targets. But if Mike Williams is out, like, they need an explosive element to this offense. And Quentin Johnston can deliver that element. I don't think Josh Palmer can.
D-Bro, do you agree?
I agree adamantly. I have no love for Josh Palmer out on waivers. I will let other people chase that. And to echo Pat's point, we know who Josh Palmer is. Like, outside of getting the 66 and a touchdown last week, before that, walking into this week, out of 89 qualified wide receivers, he was bottom five in receiving grade and had the lowest yards per route run amongst that 89 wide receivers. He's basically just out there getting cardio, and that's good for Josh Palmer, but that's not good for us in fantasy. So QJ is the guy. Quentin Johnston is the guy that people need to be picking up. Like, his 21% target per route run rate, like, might be not amazing, but it's not terrible either. And they invested a first round pick in this guy. He's got the talent that if one guy is going to emerge next to Keenan Allen, if Mike Williams is gone for the entire season, that's Quentin Johnston. It's not Josh Palmer.
Just doing cardio. In the words of Kenny Powers, I'm not trying to be the best at exercising. All right, let's get to the next wide receivers here. We've got Tank Dell. Rostered in 48% of leagues over on Sleeper. Tank Dell has really been good, I have to say. Like, this was the role that I was hoping John Mechie would fill, but Tank Dell seems to be that dude right now for them. Nico Collins also good. I'm so happy because in a league yesterday, D-Bro, I moved Justin Fields to the bench. And I added CJ Stroud, and when you know it, that ended up being the right call. Mm-hmm. And I said, am I going to do this? Am I really going to do this? I said, yep, I'm going to do this. And I'm glad I did. Stroud has looked good again. This is a huge win for the Texans. So Tank Dell, how aggressive should we be on him? Because he's out there in half of leagues.
30%, 35%.
That's a lot of stuff.
I am willing to sit here and dole out the quiche for Tank Dell. I think that Tank Dell is the real deal. You do not see a rookie wide receiver come in his first two starts, and I'm not trying to make a Puka Nacua case here, but with Tank Dell, a 22% target share, he's led the team in targets in each of the last two games. He's got over 3.0 yards per route run, and he's doing all of this as a boundary wide receiver. If we didn't know the draft capital or the size and stuff about Tank Dell, people would be clamoring for Tank Dell, because this is the type of production. It's not a myth. It's not just fallacy. This is the type of production we could see from Tank Dell moving forward, where he could be a weekly wide receiver three with wide receiver two upside. I mean, he's got more targets than Nico Collins in the last two games. And 17. Everybody wants to talk about Nico,
yeah.
But can we talk about Tank? What he's doing is equally impressive, if not even more impressive, because he's a rookie.
And to that point, too, 17 targets, 12 catches over the last 2 weeks. Yesterday, 5 catches for 145 and a touchdown. Pat, this was also the guy that CJ Stroud wanted. So obviously that should also be built into this equation, and clearly he's utilizing him. So I know you're probably not going to be as aggressive as Derek maybe on Tank Dell, but
is that a mistake? I mean, should people really be looking at the Houston Texans as a viable offense again, which it hasn't been in a very long time?
Yeah, I mean, I recommended a big expenditure for Puka in week one because I thought that the usage was for real. And I think it might be for real for Tank Dell too, but I generally just don't like spending 30% on a wide receiver. So I got to go a little lower than Debro here. I'd go up to about 18% if I needed a wide receiver. And, you know, I do like Nico Collins more than I like Tank Dell, but I do feel silly that I didn't listen to Debro and Thor Nystrom closely enough when they were trying to tell me during prospect season that Tank Dell was uncoverable, like trying to guard Mercury. They fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl and couldn't quite sell me on him. And I regret it because I didn't get him in any of my dynasty rookie drafts. But I do agree he's worthwhile. I still like Nico Collins a little more. That week two Nico Collins performance was so eye-opening for me. Like I think he is going to be the number one receiver, but like Tank Dell could be a nice complimentary number two in a passing offense that is a lot further along than we thought it was going to be. The Texans passing game is good. CJ Stroud is the real deal.
Before we get too far into the show, if you want to make another bold statement after dominating the first 3 weeks of your fantasy football league, we've got a new giveaway introducing the Bling Ring from Trophy Smack, the championship ring that shouts victory. That's right, victory. We've teamed up with Trophy Smack to bring you an epic giveaway that will take your league celebrations to the next level. To be eligible, all you need to do is drop a comment below, subscribe to the YouTube channel of Fantasy Pros. That's it. That's all you got to do. And the best part is we'll be announcing that lucky winner right here. So don't forget to turn on those notifications and click that bell till it goes ding so you can get the Bling Ring. Man, that's some good alliteration. All right, let's get back to the show. Let's package a couple of these Packers together in the wide receiver front because Romeo Doubs is 52% rostered right now. Jaden Reed is 33% rostered. Romeo Doubs yesterday, 12 targets. It's a lot of targets. He only caught five of them, one for a touchdown. Now, Reed almost had a touchdown. Did get broken up there in the end zone. It was very close. Reed is a guy that I like a lot. He's only 34% rostered currently on Sleeper. Yesterday in that game, again, this was a game without Christian Watson, still seven targets, three receptions. Pat, you're Mr. Packer. So let's talk about these two Packer wide receivers, because eventually you have to assume that Christian Watson does return and he commands a bit of target share. So how aggressive, if at all, do you want to be on these guys? And can you even just stream them next week and get by? Do you think it's an interesting situation for them against the Detroit Lions, who, you know, have shown you they can be passed upon in this league the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, they're playable, but I don't think either one is a real attractive lineup option. Maybe they become a little more attractive once we hit the bye weeks, and that starts to thin out some of the talent, and maybe people are missing one or two of their receivers. But you mentioned, Joe, Christian Watson probably is going to be back in week four. Like, he was close in week three, didn't quite make it back. The Packers are notoriously conservative with their players coming back from injury. But I do think we see Watson in week four. So that does lower the weekly ceilings a bit for Doubs and for Jaden Reed. But I think they're both good players and could still have some value in an offense that has been playing pretty well.
Debro, your thoughts. Who would you rather have and how much would you spend on both of those guys, Doubs and Jaden Reed?
I would much rather have Jaden Reed over Romeo Doubs. And I understand the playing time stuff. But look, if you're getting one of these guys on your team, you're looking at not only just the short term, you're looking at the long term value of these guys. And Jaden Reed's numbers pop off the page. Like, entering this week, he's top 24 in yards per route run and PFF receiving grade. The guy's got talent, and he's earning targets at a higher clip and doing more with them than Romeo Doubs. So I know that he didn't surpass Romeo Doubs in two of the last 3 weeks as far as production-wise, but I want the talent. If one guy, if he gets the playing time, I think that it firmly believe that he could hop Romeo Doubs in this target pecking order. So I want to sit here and go with the talent, 3 to 5%, because I just don't think you're gonna have to sit here and shell out a lot to sit here and get Jaden Reed.
The only thing is, Debro, he's not gonna pass Doubs in the playing time peck, at least as far as snaps and routes run. Doubs is going to have more of those because he's going to be the guy in two receiver sets without question. Like
that, and that's fair. And that's fair. And Jaden Reed would have to hop Romeo in that two wide set. And I know Reed's been playing the slot, so it's definitely probably not going to happen, but I still would rather bet on the talent.
All right, let's continue on here with wide receivers. One more. Adam Thielen, who had a big game If I had listened to Pat Fitzmaurice and bet the over there on Adam Thielen's yardage, it would have been a nicer day for me in the betting side. 58% rostered. Pat, he's going to have the red rifle at least for another week. So we're going to buy in here and stream Adam Thielen again.
And we get a revenge game, Joe. It's Adam Thielen against the Vikings this week.
So yes, let's go.
Absolutely,
baby.
Buy into Adam Thielen after Tank Dell. There's no one I would rather add this week. And we shouldn't be surprised that the veteran quarterback comes into the lineup for the Panthers and immediately leans heavily on the veteran receiver. The two 30-plus-year-old guys hooking up and making it happen against Seattle. So we've seen pretty heavy usage for Adam Thielen two straight weeks now. Mm-hmm. And no one else is going to step up and be the alpha receiver on this team. Like, Jonathan Mingo isn't ready for...
So it's not just a short-term thing. You think even when Bryce Young comes back, it's somewhat sustainable?
Yeah, he's the clear number one, I think, whether it's Bryce Young or Andy Dalton. But, you know, if I'm an Adam Thielen investor, I want more of Andy Dalton, quite honestly. And I think we're going to see him one more week.
Let me tell you, if the Jets had Andy Dalton right now, the Jets would be a playoff team. Just telling you right now. Just putting that out there. The red rifle could put them into the playoffs. But
you're not lying.
It's sad when a Patriot fan is like, man, if the Jets could just get some decent quarterback play, they could be a really good football team.
Maybe they should trade for Mac Jones. I'm just saying.
Let's not get crazy here. All right, Derek Brown, Adam Thielen, your thoughts here. How much you want to spend on Adam Thielen? Obviously, you both think that it's not just a one-week wonder. You think it's somebody that's worthy of rostering. And you know, look, he's still available in 40%+ of leagues.
Yeah, I do. 8 to 10% of your fab. And I think we're looking at a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 at the upcoming matchups. I mean, he's got Minnesota, Detroit, Miami. None of those secondaries are scaring us. And you got to have interest, regardless of age, situation, all that kind of stuff. For a wide receiver that's gotten a 25% target share in the last 2 weeks and has looked good doing it, 1.7 yards per route run. And that's not a smash type of output for Adam Thielen, but it's not bad either. That's solid. And if he's commanding that type of volume, I mean, he's going to be a wide receiver 3 or 4 with wide receiver 2 upside, especially in PPR leagues weekly.
And don't forget, everybody, the waiver wire column is out already on fantasypros.com. Pat's going to be updating it always as more information and news comes through. And of course, we have our waiver wire rankings there too at fantasypros.com/rankings. So you can check them out also. So, you know, always use the resources we have, including things like my playbook, where you can use the waiver assistant in all your leagues and see who's available in which league and run to the waiver wire to go pick them up. So use the tools that we're giving you to be successful and to make good choices. That's all we're trying to do here. Just like your parents told you, could you make good choices, please? That's what we want you to do. Let's talk about making some choices to drop some guys. How about Treylon Burks? I'm done with Treylon Burks. D-Bro, are you?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Treylon.
Fitzy, Treylon Burks, man. Razorback.
This is a tough one for me. I really like him. I know with DeAndre Hopkins around to be the alpha, like, I probably can't justify it. Like, I really, you can probably pry him out of my hands, but I would do so very reluctantly.
Well, for any of the guys we just mentioned, you have to drop Burks for Thielen, right? You'd have to drop Burks for, I mean, I would drop him for any of the Packer guys, too. I think that's an easy drop.
Yeah, I can't argue.
I mean, 6 targets yesterday, 1 catch for 5 yards. The last 2 weeks, 3 catches, 2 catches in that first game, too. That's been bad. How about Juju Smith-Schuster? Can we drop him, Pat?
Yes. It's over. Yes. Done. Oh my gosh. He's averaging like 3.6 yards per target. I mean, this is he's 26. This is a guy who, when he was 22, had a 1400 yard season. What it, like Yogi Berra says, it gets late early out here, man.
It does. Yeah. So far yesterday, again, bad weather game, Jets defense, all that stuff. But even the game before, 5 of 6 for 28 yards, D-Bro. That's not exactly fantasy dreams.
I'm sitting here wondering why you have to drop him, because I'm questioning why anybody has him on a roster. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Bypass me with it.
All right, oof. Let's talk about some other guys out there. We already talked about the two guys in Los Angeles for the Chargers, so we'll leave Quentin Johnson and Palmer out. We'll talk about them more at the end of the show. Josh Downs, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, Justin Watson, DJ Shark, Marvin Mims, any of these guys that are floating out there, you want to take a flyer on, D-Bro, this week?
I mean, yeah, I want to sit here and cultivate all the Marvin Mims that I possibly can. Okay. He's just not playing in a full-time role, and he needs to be. Like, he's leading Denver in basically every single metric, and This is all in a part-time role. What's he going to do when Sean Payton finally wakes up and says, you know what? We need to let the young kid play. I need to stop sitting here rolling out all these other has-been or never-were wide receivers. And we need to let Marvin Mims play. The kid is talented. Every time he's gotten on the field, he's produced in a big, big way. Like, we talked about Quentin Johnston and the upside that he presents. What happens to Marvin Mims when he gets a full-time role?
Fair enough. How about you, Fitzy? Anybody on that list, Palmer, Aguilar, Bourne, Watson, Shark, Mims, Downs, that excite you?
I mean, not Mims. Just to push back a Deeper, I think Mims has run like 22 routes the last 2 weeks. And I know like the yards per route run is like 10. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But unless that role expands, and they're not going to kick Sutton or Judy to the curb unless they deal one of those guys. But we know.
I was going to say, we're becoming very close to being irrelevant, and I know, one of those guys is a trade
almost,
target.
We almost
sure.
never.
But Johnson or little Jordan Humphrey, they can't go to the
that
bench.
That we want
to
see. Like that, at least
I mean,
let this guy.
We're kind of making the same case that we did for QJ, though, Pat.
I agree.
Like, he's not running a lot of routes.
Different
are
draft
we, are
capital.
Are we shading
though.
Him?
Quinn Johnson had much more draft capital, so I think you've got to force your hand
versus
there.
Versus second round. I mean, we're
yeah,
still here.
Nowadays, that's
here's the difference,
saying, Steve. Bro. But the Denver Broncos need to recoup some. Look, after this Russell Wilson trade, they need to recoup some draft picks. It would behoove them not to move one of these wide receivers. I think Mims is an interesting long term ad. Pat,
yeah,
Quentin
Johnston might eventually play in two receiver sets. We're not going to see Marvin Mims in two receiver sets. That's the difference.
Not right
I
now.
Think.
That's
yeah.
fair enough. All so, right. And then, there one guy before fair. We move on to you, before we get to the streaming guys, you like?
God, I'm like mildly interested in
you don't
just
have to pick one. I don't want to twist your
yeah,
arm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love any of these guys, but Justin Watson does interest me because he is getting the deep routes. Like none of these Chiefs receivers individually has a great deal of value. But like if there's one,
no.
I'm getting to the point where Watson would probably be the one I would take if you forced me to take one because he is getting the highest value targets.
All right, Pat.
We're not forcing you, Pat. I don't want to force you to do that.
Yeah. Let's get to the streamers of the week. Let's start with quarterback, Pat. Who do you have for the people?
Quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses.
It's the Red Rifle going against Minnesota, a terrible defense. And
oh,
they turned Andy Dalton loose yesterday against Seattle. 34 of 58 for 361 yards, two touchdowns. And then he gets this juicy matchup against the Vikings. Yes, perfect streamer for week four.
I can't believe the Vikings lost that game, especially when Brandon Staley tried to go for it his own 25. I mean, the Vikings fans, I mean, has anyone checked on Thor? We checked on Thor. Is he?
I had to put a
wellness check
just for a health check.
Oh my
last
God!
Night
let's
on
do a
Thor.
Wellness
he's,
check.
He's
on
okay.
Thor.
He's safe.
Thor
and sound.
Is
he's good.
Thor is designs on Caleb Williams now, so he might actually be happy.
That's true.
He might actually be happy, and he's also reveling in all the Tank Dell right now. So
rooting
he's
for the Cardinals yesterday. Rooting for the Cardinals. Got a big win. All right. How about you, D bro? Who's your streaming QB of the week?
It's going to be whoever's under center for the Raiders this week, and whether that's Jimmy Garoppolo, I know that evaluation for a concussion, or it's Aiden O'Connell, and I know we're going down the well here, but we saw what Andy Dalton did in a plus matchup. That's what the Chargers are, baby. Like, allowing the second most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, the most passing yards in the NFL. We know he has competent weapons with Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whoever's under center for the Raiders, I think, is going to sit here and put up some nice numbers next
All
week.
All right. Let's go on to the streaming tight ends. Who do you have, Derek Brown?
Okay, it's not pretty out there, people. And I know that you're going to have to sit here and walk with me for a second here. But Chigakonkwo, if he's out there, I know that his roster percentage is above 50% on some sites. It's 47% on Yahoo. If people have dropped him, that's the guy that I want to go after. Because the way that you attack the Cincinnati Bengals pass defense is you stay away from their outside corners. You attack them via the slot and with tight ends. And so looking at Cincinnati, this has been the case for the last three seasons. And it holds true this year. Third most fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends. So in Chig we trust.
All right. How about you, Pat? Streaming tight end.
I want a better player in a better offense, so I'll take Luke Musgrave. 8 targets yesterday, 6 catches, 49 yards, and Jordan Love missed him on a seam route that would have gone for at least 30 yards. For some reason, Jordan Love seems to save his worst throws for Luke Musgrave. I mean, the dude is 6'6", and somehow Love has a knack for throwing it like 10 feet over Luke Musgrave's head. But like Luke Musgrave is going to pop eventually. This guy's good.
Well, one tight end popped yesterday with Sam Laporta, Sammy Ballgame, who we've been talking about on this show for weeks. We were talking about drafting Sam Laporta, so I hope we all scooped him up. All right, streaming defense of the week. Pat, I'm going to let you say this, but I got to say, I want to talk about wellness checks. This might be a wellness check after.
Hold on your hat. This one's going to peel your wig back, Daddy-O. The Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos, who just gave up 70 points, their next two opponents are the Chicago Bears and the Arizona Cardinals. And I know we are about to have a, you know, the pathos bowl with the Broncos and the Bears facing off in week four. Bet on the Broncos in that one. I mean, the Bears are so disheveled right now. It's unbelievable how dysfunctional that offense is. And Justin Fields, sack magnet, interception machine. Like, cash in on this. And you have to think that the Broncos are going to, like, not enjoy the taste of their own blood in their mouths. Like, and they were embarrassed in week three. So, I mean, I'll say the Broncos are going to put up, like, 15 or more fantasy points this week.
Some Game of Thrones stuff there from Pat Fitzmaurice.
Pat's stealing fire right now,
I thought
man.
I chose violence this morning, but Pat Fitzmaurice took it to a higher level.
I thought you pulled out the sword,
D-bro,
man.
D-Bro, let's talk about your streaming defense of the week. Who is it?
I don't even know how to follow
I gotta come strong. I'm recommending a team that just gave up 70 points as a streaming defense. I gotta bring the fire.
Such classical authority that I think no one could argue. It was moving. Yeah. It was very moving.
I mean, that was biblical, man. That was very impressive. Pat, I'm just gonna make this easy. We're just gonna go with the Bengals here. And I know I just talked about Chig, but Tennessee is going to be down in this game, Burrow or not. The defense is still extremely good. We talked about ad nauseum in this show about how bad Tennessee's offensive line is and how bad, like, how Ryan Tannehill has been struggling. Mm-hmm. We're going to go with the Bengals here.
Pat, let's get your top five waiver wire priorities of the week for those people who aren't spending fab. How would you rank the waiver priority guys?
All right, Devon Achane, number one. Tank Dell, number two. I'm including Roschon Johnson because he is rostered in fewer than half of Yahoo leagues. And I think maybe the Bears do try a sea change. They have to shake something up here and just let Roschon be Justin Fields' protector. One of the things he does really well is block. Mm-hmm. So maybe Justin Fields could use that. I've got Roschon third, Adam Thielen fourth, and then Luke Musgrave fifth.
D-Bro, you have an order for everybody?
Yeah, Tank Dell's number one, Devon Achane's number two. If Roschon is out there, he'd be my number three. If he's not, it's Adam Thielen, Luke Musgrave, and I'll throw Tajay Spears on the end of the bench here.
All right, everybody. Great stuff today, as always. I know we went a little long, so we're going to bag the mailbag for today, but we'll bring that back. Of course, if you want your questions answered, go to our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. And again, don't also forget to check out DraftKings, the official sports book of the NFL. Go deposit $5, win 200. Sounds good to me. Just go place your wagers and use that promo code FantasyPros when you do. And don't forget to check out FantasyPros.com for the Waiver Wire article and all of our Waiver Wire tools so you can get the best players on your fantasy teams and kick everyone else's butt. And then maybe you can get a cameo from Pat Fitzmaurice to talk trash to your opponents, because let me tell you, that's the guy you want. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Pat and D-Bro, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.